Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
We are talking to Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hi, Dr. Bomer.
Good morning, Wendy.
I wanted to, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I got a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about, and hopefully other people will be interested in it as well. Antibiotics are given somewhat frequently. Anytime you feel you have a cold, a lot of people would go to their doctor and antibiotics were given. I'm noticing now they're not given as much because we are becoming resistant to the antibiotics that are out there, and this has me concerned.
Yeah, it's a big concern. It's become an increasingly big issue in recent years, but I mean, we've known this for a while. So this is what you're speaking about is antibiotic resistance. So what happens is over time is these bacteria are exposed to antibiotics, especially those that we call our bigger guns, those very powerful antibiotics. The bacteria are like any other life form, wants to survive. And so they grow fast. And so the mutations and changes in their biology can allow them to survive. So eventually those mutations can allow them to sort of evade certain antibiotics and they become resistant to those antibiotics. So it's a big problem. And the more exposure that these bacteria have to antibiotics, particularly in prescriptions given inappropriately for infections that are maybe a virus, like the common cold, for instance, or even COVID is another good example, or the flu, where the patients get the antibiotics that it's not going to treat it because it's not a bacterial illness. So that's where we all carry bacteria in our systems at all times. Mm-hmm. And so if those bacteria are exposed to antibiotics when they're not really needing to get antibiotics, that's where the bacteria learn how to sort of survive. So it's not just in humans and over prescriptions in humans, but it's also seen in the agricultural industry and inappropriate wasting of antibiotics. So putting our antibiotics into our sewer system, all of those things can really, really do it. So antibiotic stewardship is what we call the importance of really trying to make sure we're doing a good job as physicians to prescribe antibiotics for the appropriate situation. So we've developed new testing to really help identify when patients have a specific virus, so it can tell us, hey, this person has the influenza virus or they have COVID. And so, hey, we don't need to give that person antibiotics. But it's really important that it's not just the onus really isn't just on the physicians or the nurse practitioner or PA that you're seeing. It's also on the patient. So not going to the urgent care or calling your doctor every time that you have got a stuffy nose or may have a sinus infection. A lot of those infections are indeed going to be viruses. And the more we expose ourselves to that, the more likely we are to have these resistant bugs. And it's becoming an issue. We saw, I think, over almost 3 million drug-resistant infections last year in the United States alone, resulting in about 35,000 deaths. So that number is going to continue to rise. And so hopefully the other thing we can do is try to come up with good antibiotics to combat these infections. And that's where our government's going to come into play and try to sort of incentivize some of the pharmaceutical industry to develop some new drugs that way.
Yeah, because I've really heard it very frequently where people go in for some kind of surgical procedure and a bacterial infection takes them out. I mean, really, because they're resistant to some of the antibiotics. So, yeah, that was my question to you. Is anybody working on new antibiotics? But I guess, yes, that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an act that's in play, and it hasn't passed through Congress yet, I don't believe, but it's called the Pasteur Act. And so it's looking at incentivizing pharmaceutical companies, I think up to $3 billion over 5 years to get them to develop some new antibiotics. There's just not a lot of incentive for these pharmaceutical companies to just do it de novo because there's just not that large of a number of these resistant infections to do so. But, you know, the concern is that by doing so, hey, it's going to help the United States, but this is a global issue. And so there are some concerns with the Pasteur Act that it may actually cut off the global supply of these antibiotics and may cause a bigger problem. As we know that with international travel, these patients come and go. And so it may not really solve the entire problem, but at least it's a start. And so going to be some development for some new drugs, and you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, when we talk about taking care of our partners across the world.
Excellent. Now, there is some new drugs out there. The FDA has approved a nasal spray alternative to the EpiPen. People who are allergic to things have to carry an EpiPen on them. I always felt bad for the kids that would have to stick themselves. But now it's going to be a nasal spray, which is much easier to administer. So that's good news.
Yeah. This is great news. I think this could be a game changer in the emergency department. We'll see, you know, kids and adults for that matter that are just really apprehensive to use an EpiPen if they've never used it before. It's a little intimidating. You've got this long, you know, this long piece of plastic you carry in your pocket that you know you're going to have to poke yourself,
right?
And to get over that hump to do so is not necessarily an easy thing to do from a mental standpoint. So this really gets rid of that, and I think it's going to allow. I mean, what we're talking about treating here is anaphylaxis. Anaphylaxis is, you know, the collapse of this, you know, the circulatory system, respiratory system, and or GI system in response to typically a food allergy. So the most common one is peanut allergies, where someone inadvertently, you know, didn't know that Aunt Carol's recipe had nuts in it, and they inadvertently eat it, and next thing you know, they're breaking out in hives, and they don't look so good and having trouble breathing, and so you whip out the EpiPen. So now, if there's any question at whether or not you need it, I think patients are more likely to just go, hey, just spray this up your nose and we can take you to the emergency room and get you checked out there.
Absolutely. Makes things easier. That's what we need. Dr. Bomer, my son Dylan was not feeling well. He had all of a sudden really sore throat, and he sounded stuffed up. And I have been hoarding a few COVID tests that were expired, but the expiration dates have been extended. Negative, which is good, but you can sometimes think a cold could be COVID. It could be a bunch of things. It even could be allergies, right?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you typically with a virus, not always, but usually with a virus that you're going to get the stuffy nose, nasal congestion, cough, sore throat, sneezing. Most of the time, you're going to have some sort of, yeah, what we call a systemic complaint too. So, you know, feeling malaise, no appetite, achy, headache. Usually with allergies, you're not going to get those kind of symptoms, but you can. But, you know, typically the most common, and as we get into the allergy season here, as we get past Labor Day, although I think we're starting to see some of it already,
you're going to
start to see those itchy eyes, watery eyes, the runny nose, the itchy nose. You'll see people, you know, you'll see especially kids kind of rub the back of their hand against their nose and itch it. And sometimes they may even get, if you look closely, you can see a little white line across the bridge of their nose. That's pretty telling that that's what we're dealing with here. So it's usually kids are going to have some sort of a sickness at one point during their viral illness. Whereas with allergies, they're just going to keep going unless you treat them. So love to treat them with, there's some simple over-the-counter medications, antihistamines, you know, like cetirizine, and then, you know, the nasal steroids are great. But you can also just to prevent them, some things at home, keeping the windows closed if at all possible. I'm sure if you've got air conditioning now, you're going to be keeping your windows closed the next few days with this heat wave. But,
yeah.
You know, showering if you've been outdoors for any period of time, showering, get those pollens off of you. And if you have a pet in the home, I think it's a good idea to try to keep that pet out of the bedroom, because they are carrying all those allergens around with them. So
yeah, you try keeping my dog out of the bedroom. Good luck with that.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
Go back to that white line on the nose. What does that signify?
Yeah, so it's what happens is if you see them rubbing the back of their nose, they you push up the nose a little bit, and so you can actually see a little line develop, it's subtle, but especially if they've been in the sun a little bit, you can see a little white line that can develop right at the sort of the bridge of the nose there. It goes right across it horizontally. So the little trick I learned back in my days when I was training and with an ENT doctor at one point and pointed that out to me. So, but it's something that if they're persistently having an itchy nose and they're going up to the nose and sort of itching it or rubbing it, that line will develop over a period of time.
And that shows that they have some kind of allergies going on?
Yeah. it's more indicative of allergies, because typically with colds or viruses, you don't get that itchiness. It's just a it's just a runny nose. That itchiness that you get in the nose is what's more typical of allergies. Yeah.
And so the government is going to give free COVID test kits again, as you know, cases are up this summer. So does that mean there aren't going to be as many cases this winter? I was just thinking about that.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think there's, I'd like to think that we're getting a lot of exposure, but we've seen this before. I mean, we just 2 years ago with Omicron, when that came out, it was sort of July, August when we really saw a big uptick. And, you know, historically the teaching is that, you know, viruses are worse during the colder months. It's because we're indoors more. So, you know, when kids go back to school in September, we see an uptick in viruses, but it's not necessarily, COVID doesn't seem to follow that pattern. And I think a lot of the other viruses that we've seen that are typically have this sort of, you know, that sort of follow the calendar. For instance, RSV, we used to be taught that RSV you'd only see from Thanksgiving time until, you know, mid-April, but that doesn't follow those guidelines anymore either. I think our calendars in terms of the viruses, they don't pay attention to the calendar anymore. And so I think it's difficult to say. We may see, you know, all of these viruses, specifically, you know, COVID, they do mutate a little bit. And so they find, again, like I mentioned with bacteria, viruses are doing an even better job of mutating and finding ways to invade their hosts. And so we may see another variant come out in the winter. I hope it's going to be a light winter in terms of COVID, but the last couple of falls have been really, really difficult in the emergency departments and urgent cares, because we've seen such an uptick in other viruses, not just COVID, but RSV and parainfluenza virus, and not so much influenza, but some influenza too. And so it really saturates our department. So we'll see. More to come.
Yeah, and go to covidtest.gov to order those free COVID tests starting in late September. So great to talk to you, Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Great work today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy.